Welcome to Jaguars Thursday. Former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli bring you expert insight and analysis of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Now to get things started, here's the host of Jaguars Thursday, J.P. Shadrick.
Jaguars Thursday, J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman here in Jacksonville. Tony Baselli soon to join us over the phone from Foxborough, Gillette Stadium. Thursday night football, the NFL opener tonight. We'll hear from Big Bo on the sideline at Patriot Place, Foxborough, Mass. We were just there a few weeks ago.
Great matchup. You know, the defending Super Bowl champions at their place, they're going to be raising the fifth Super Bowl championship banner, which they had to do stadium modifications just to be able to accommodate a fifth banner.
That's right. They rebuilt the top of the scoreboard.
That's right. When they rebuilt it, they made more room than just for the five banners. They've got room for a sixth and a seventh and an eighth, from what I understand. I think they're planning ahead. So nicely done by the Patriots of anticipating future banners.
We'll get to the Jags-Texans matchup, as we did the previous hour, with head coach Doug Marrone as well. Let's go to Foxborough and say good evening to Tony Baselli on the sideline in Foxborough, and I'm sure it's going to be a rowdy scene there. Tony, what's up?
It is going to be rowdy, and a lot going on, a lot of anticipation for the banner number five. But I think what is almost people are most excited about is the booing of Roger Goodell. The commissioner is in Foxborough tonight. Stadium, they're handing out towels, blue towels, Roger Goodell, and reportedly made up as a clown. So it's going to be crazy at this place. And the game, until the game kicked off, I think people are almost just as excited to boo Roger Goodell as anything else.
All right, so we lost you there for a minute, Tony. The towels that they're handing out to the Patriots fans, I remember Matt Patricia, after they won the Super Bowl, wore a T-shirt that had Roger Goodell kind of as with a clown nose on him. So that's what the towels are?
That's it.
Okay.
So they're going to be, so Barstool Sports is outside the stadium handing out free towels, like 20,000 of them for people to wave. Here at the stadium when Roger Goodell's in the
game. Now, question. Did you get a towel, and will you wave it?
I did not get a towel, but I'm going to try to steal one to take as a souvenir, because it might be worth something someday. But, yeah, it's an interesting atmosphere here right now.
All right, see if you can get an exclusive with Roger Goodell is what you should do.
I'm looking at the towel right now, and it is Roger Goodell with a red clown nose.
Now, if you had a towel, would you wave it?
Oh, no, I'm respectful. I respect the office of the commissioner.
Right. There you go. Tony Baselli.
I got respect.
A true pro on the sideline tonight for Westwood One Radio. So that's going to be a fantastic game. Kansas City, New England tonight at 8:30 Eastern time. Jags-Texans, Tony, coming up week one in Houston, and, you know, we don't know all the hurricane stuff going on. That's the big story kind of surrounding this game. But once you get into the game, and we talked about this Monday, Tony, once you get there and get past all the emotion, it's a football game again. They've got to get to that point if you're the Jaguars.
Absolutely. I mean, in most big games, if you're the road team, you walk into a very hostile environment where all the emotion and all the energy is going to be with the crowd and on your opponent's bench. I mean, it's going to be lively, and they're going to be going, and they're going to be flying around early. And if you're the visiting team, and we've been there, Jeff and I have been on teams that have experienced this, you have to endure the first several minutes of that game. And you can't let it overwhelm you. You can't get rattled. Because sooner or later, your head about you, it's going to turn into an all. And you go out there and play, and then you can, you know, then all the extracurricular activities and all the energy and everything like that will die down, and you just go play football.
All right, so I got a question for you. You know, we were just up in New England not long ago for a preseason game, and we spent, 5 or 6 days up there. And we found a really nice restaurant with an excellent buffet. Did you happen to swing in there and get you a bite to eat today?
No, because we're not staying anywhere near there, but I did go eat dinner at the Italian restaurant we had.
Oh, nice.
Awesome.
And instead of having to share two meatballs or three meatballs amongst all of us animals. I've pretty much had a whole meatball to myself. It was outstanding.
Congratulations.
All right, so, Tony, this week, the Houston Texans, and we talked about this with Doug Marrone, you know, blocking the front, which, you know, the Texans have never really been able to put together the front with, you know, Jadeveon Clowney and J.J. Watt and Merciless. What are your expectations for this Jaguars offensive line going against that defensive front with all the parts of it together?
Well, I hope that Nathaniel Hackett helps them out. And what I mean by that is I hope they are, I guess the best way to say it is committed to the run and they're able to do that because hopefully the defense is the defense we all believe they are supposed to be. And it's a tight game so they can work their way into it. Because the last thing you want is to get in these third and long situations when you have their nickel front, J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney, Whitney Merciless coming off the edge 100 miles an hour at third and seven. Because that's gonna create turnovers. That's gonna bring more energy to the crowd. And so you've got to run the ball early in this game, and you have to stick to it. And I would not be afraid if I was Daniel Hackett, especially if my defense is playing well, on third and seven plus, run screens and draws. Keep on pounding them, and even if, you know, you're going to get, you know, criticized maybe by some so-called experts, that's the recipe for this team to win. That's the formula. And so you can't start panicking early. Now, if the flow of the game forces you because your defense can't hold up, that's a different story. But I believe the defense will play well. Hunting in this game is not a bad thing. And I think as an offensive lineman, you get into the situation and you can start pounding them and pounding them and pounding them and knowing that's what their game plan is. You'll build some confidence and maybe you can wear this group out a little bit.
Where would you expect, if you're Mike Vrabel, the Texans defensive coordinator, and you just got done watching the Jaguars preseason film, and you've got the ability to line up those three guys wherever you want, Clowney, Watt, and Merciless, where would you want to line them up at for the matchup?
Well, I would keep J.J. Watt inside over either guard or put him outside over the right tackle with Parnell because I think that's where he's most effective. I think the weakest rushing position is right end. I think that's where he's at. That's not where he's at. He's best. So any of those other three positions is where I play him. I put Jadeveon Clowney at the other three techniques on third down, and I put Whitney Merciless over the left tackle.
See, I agree.
That's what I would do.
Yeah. And see, I don't take notes before this. Well, I totally agree with him because you're not. And look, me and Tony did not have any conversations.
Right?
I mean, that's kind of where we talked about earlier that you know JJ on inside or as a left defensive end. But, you know, when Tony talks about Clowney lining up as a three technique, I want to kind of expand on that because a lot of people would assume that Tony's talking about Clowney lining up with his hand in the ground as a defensive tackle. No. You know, Clowney has a great ability to stand up and rush in that area kind of as a three technique, and he's more effective when he's off the ball. He's a very challenging player to block because he has a little bit of space, kind of like the old stand-up Lawrence Taylor when he kind of lined up wherever he wanted to go. But I think Tony's right, and if Clowney is coming in the middle, he's not going to have his hand in the ground. He's coming for space, and he's approaching the guard with speed, and he has power, and he can make people miss.
No, you're exactly right, Jeff. I mean, and with Clowney inside, with all the things you described, and then all of a sudden you have the twist game and the blitz game, which allow, I mean, his athletic abilities can create all kinds of pressure on the interior of the offensive line. So, and that's why you can't get in these third and long situations. And if you do, don't be afraid to run it, draw screens, quick passing, and hopefully a receiver can make someone miss and get the first down.
Right,
I would not, especially early, get in third and long situations, drop back in 5-6 drops and hold the ball. I think that's the best way to happen.
All right, Tony, there's been no information given by the head coach about who will start at the left guard spot. Who would you play at left guard this week?
I'd probably put him on. I think his size, his length, probably fit best against if he's matched up against Clowney or J.J. Watt. I think that's who I'd go with. I think he, you know, none of them have been great in the preseason, but I think he probably played the best.
And you would play A.J. Cann at right guard, who's been there for just
I would start there, yeah. Okay. But I think, Jeff, you and I agree. I mean, that's a week-to-week situation. Until so people start playing more consistent in each guard position, I'm evaluating that every week.
Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to watch, and you know, if things aren't going well mid-game, could that possibly change?
Well, let me say this too, because you know, we talked about Earl
Watford.
Earl Watford earlier, and that, you know, he played in the Atlanta game as a left guard before he got injured throughout the OTAs, et cetera. He was a right guard, so he would be a guy. Look, if Patrick Amame plays well at left guard. And if there's any kind of struggles at the right guard position, that I think that's kind of where Watford is most comfortable at. At least that's where they had him at. So he could be in the mix there as well.
That'll be interesting to watch. And a punt is not a bad play in this game coming up, I think. If you're, like as Tony was alluding to, if you're third and long, draw play, punt, play some field position, and
well,
that might not be a bad play.
To tease, you know, John Osher has a thing coming up on Jaguars.com. That I don't remember the exact name of it. It's coming out on Friday.
Okay.
And, you know, it's kind of, you know, your thoughts on the game.
Yes, yes. And, I was a part of that, too.
Okay. And
hey, will you tell, hey, do me a favor. I'm going to interrupt you. Will you tell John I'm going to answer that tonight after this game? And let him know I didn't forget about him?
If you hear our opinions, you'll answer him. Go ahead.
But my point was in that was, you know, in a game in which, you know, you don't expect a high-scoring affair, they like to run the ball. You're going to want to run the football. Special teams and field position are critical. And the punters, which they have maybe the best ever in the National Football League, the Houston Texans.
You should the best at, ever?
Shane Leckler?
The best ever?
Oh, I don't want to say he's – I mean, Ray Guy.
He's one of the best ever.
He's one of the best.
Let me
rephrase that. He has been one of the best punters that this league has ever
generation.
Seen.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, 18 years in the league, he's got, I think, one of the top gross averages in league history.
Make sure there.
You know, but so, I mean, you're talking about Nortman and Leckler. I mean, those two guys, who's going to have the better game? And then you look at the kicking situation. Jason Meyer, young kicker, and Fairbairn, I think that's how you pronounce it, Fairbairn, whatever it is. He, second-year kicker out of UCLA. Last year he spent the year on injury reserve. Which young kicker is going to have the better game? I mean, so when you're talking about a low-scoring affair, special teams is a big factor. And, you know, with the Jaguars hiring one of the best coordinators in the league and Joe DeCamillis, they need to have a big day.
All right, Tony, we'll leave you with this. We won't get your full picks this week, but pick the Jags game. And if you are willing and able, you can pick tonight's game in Foxborough.
So, yes, I'll do a couple things. One, Joe Fortunato can pick my picks today, so we have equal amount of picks, and I'll be picking the rest of the year. So, Joe, I anoint him as my picker today for the rest of the game.
Okay, done.
For this game tonight, I think it's a close game, like 3. And then for the Jaguar-Texans game, I got 2017 Jacksonville Jaguars winner.
Say the Patriots score and result again. We lost you for a sec.
I think the Patriots are going to win by 3.
By 3. Okay. There you go. By 3.
And the Jaguars are win 27.
27 by 3 as well. Tony, well done. Enjoy Foxborough, and we'll talk to you this weekend.
Sounds good, guys.
Tony Buscelli on the Westwood One call tonight on the sideline at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough as the Patriots host the Kansas City Chiefs. Jeff and I will be back in just a moment. We'll keep on talking Jaguars-Texans. Week 1.
Love it.
Coming up in the National Football League. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Everybody understands, you know, what's going on, the situation in Houston, and how passionate, you know, that stadium, how much energy is going to be in there. It's obviously extremely unfortunate what happened in Houston, and I know everybody across the country, you know, is doing anything they can to try and help out. And I think, you know, for us and our mindset, we have to try and just, I guess, keep it a football game. Make sure that we're understanding that this is just a football game. People are going to be extremely excited. We know it's a little heightened environment with emotions and everything going on. But when the whistle blows and the first kickoff happens, it's just a football game, and it's us against the Texans in week 1 in the divisional game.
Here's your quarterback, Blake Bortles. I guess yesterday. talking about the Houston Texans coming up this Sunday. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman. Jags, Texans, six in a row now the Jags have lost to Houston.
Which is every game that Bill O'Brien's been the head coach, by the way. Mm. He's done a great job. You know, I mean, heck, they've won the last two division titles with the Houston Texans. You know, the first year struggled a little bit, didn't struggle. 9-7, I think, the last 2 years, first year they struggled a little bit. But, you know, I mean, Bill O'Brien's a good football coach. And, first of all, he did a great job at Penn State. He's done a great job in Houston. He's got a very good coaching staff. And I give him a lot of credit, you know. And here's another stat that I think kind of goes to show you how good of a coach he is. The Houston Texans have not lost in the last 18 games under Bill O'Brien. When they've led at the half, they're 18-0.
By any amount?
By any amount. When the Texans under Bill O'Brien have led at the half, they're 18-0 winning the game.
How about that?
Which is unbelievable.
It really is.
And I think that's a testament to him, his coaching staff. And, you know, and maybe more amazing is that they've been able to do that with a multitude of quarterbacks. You know, I think this is what, like the fifth year in a row that they've had a different starter on opening day for the Houston Texans. So, I mean, there hasn't been any continuity at the quarterback position.
And the idea is that they'll have one next year, too, and Deshaun Watson.
Sure.
It'll be six in a row.
Yeah, I think it's 5 years in a row.
Yeah, I know there's a streak
down
there.
Yes, fifth year in a row with a different starting quarterback on opening day. You know, I mean, that. And we're talking about, I mean, obviously he has not been there for, this is his Bill O'Brien's fourth year. But it just goes to show you, I think, that he's done a very good job as head coach, and it also shows you that the Texans have been desperately trying to get somebody at the helm that can be consistent and be effective. And, you know, that's the goal of every team in the National Football League, but Bill O'Brien has been able to overcome the lack of consistency at that position and still win football games. And so a credit to him, a credit to his staff, and a credit to the way that he coaches. You know, he is the offensive coordinator, by the way. You know, when you look at his coaching staff, there is no offensive coordinator by name. He is the offensive coordinator.
The Texans gave Brock Osweiler $37 million guaranteed, by the way, if you remember. That's one of the five.
I mean, that was a mistake and looked at trying to get
There's nothing more important.
Hang on. Sorry about that.
You might want to turn that part off there, Joe. Or is that was JP?
Put him in the computer here. Sorry. Oh, man.
What are you watching over there?
I don't know. I don't know what happened.
Jeez.
Who knows? But that was one of the issues there. 37, that's a lot of money for a guy who didn't play long, you know?
Well, it is. You know, but to go back to the division titles thing, you know, two straight AFC Souths. I think, which is a tremendous compliment to him. You know, and you think about when's the Jaguars' goal, you know, under this new regime with Doug Marrone and Tom Coughlin, and you see it around the building, win the division.
Yeah, it's on the wall out here with the dates of the games.
Yeah. Okay, and Bill O'Brien has been able to do that. And I think what is surprising, and it should be a goal of every team, when's the last time the Jaguars won the division?
That's
Joe, do you know?
Been a while, right?
The last time the Jaguars won their division.
They didn't even win in 07 because that was a wild card.
99.
Exactly.
99. Yeah. I was a senior in high school, Logs.
1999.
How about that?
Been a while.
Yeah. Yeah, it's time to change.
Well, that's why it says it on the wall, win the division. You know, now, just putting it on the wall doesn't mean you're going to do it, you know, or that you're going to be able to do it. But that's, you know, that's the goal every year, and it should be your goal every year when you start the year out, is to win your division. And it's surprising, you know, because when I was you know, looking at the Texans and I I said, well, heck, they've won two in a row. I started thinking, I said, well, when's the last time the Jaguars won a division?
Yeah. This division didn't exist
yet. My first thought was going back to 07, but no. Colts.
No.
Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Hello.
This division did not exist back with the last time the Jags won the division. That was the Central, right?
That's right. AFC Central.
That's how long ago that was.
Bengals, Browns, Pittsburgh. You know?
Oof.
A little different. Houston Texans.
I had a lot more hair. Had a lot more hair back then too, Lox.
So you did?
Yeah.
I think you were born.
Believe it or
I think you were born now.
Believe it or not. Yeah. So win the division. But you know, at the end of last season, the Titans were playing the best in the division, I think, overall.
But they didn't win the division.
They didn't win. If they'd have started a week or two earlier on their run.
Well, they didn't win the division because this team got a hold of them there at the end.
There you go.
You know, so but you know, it's amazing when you look at all the different predictions that people are coming out with. A lot of them are predicting the Titans to win the division, and I get it because the Titans look like, you know, they're ready to take another step mm-hmm. up. But the Texans have had, you know, very good coaching. They've found a way to do it, and I expect them because of their defense, you know, being the best in the National Football League as far as yards allowed per game to be right there in the conversation. You know, and another thing about the number one defense in the National Football League, there's kind of who should be the number one defense in the National Football League? Should it be the team that allows the fewest yards, or should it be the team that allows the fewest points?
Well, that's why they have different categories for it, right?
Right. But, I mean –
total
the Texans are
yardage.
Called the best defense in the National Football League last year.
In total defense, right?
In yards allowed.
There you go. That's why they have scoring defense,
okay,
too.
Okay, but they weren't number one in the league in points allowed.
Right.
You know, number one in yards allowed, but they were like 11th in points allowed. I mean, the same thing was talked about with the Jaguars defense last year. Where did they end up last year in rankings? You remember?
Yeah, they were top 10, top 5.
They were
five.
Six.
Yeah, they were
okay.
Right there.
Where were they at in points?
Not good, Coach.
25th.
No.
You know, so.
Who was best in points? You remember?
I don't know. I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, we'll look that up.
I'll have to look it up. Might have been I think it might have been the Patriots. But I'll have to look.
I'll
find out in the break. How about that?
Let's take a break.
Okay.
We'll come back and flip it around on this football game coming up Sunday at NRG Stadium. The Jags and the Texans in NFL Week 1. PRI Productions, the official event production company of the Jags, has everything you need to bring your next idea to life. Visit PRIProductions.com. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Jaguars Thursday, Week 1. The Jags and the Texans coming up at NRG Stadium in Houston on Sunday. What a scene it's going to be. Introductions, they're honoring first responders as they always do. We heard from Mark Vandermeer earlier this week, the voice of the Texans. They always honor first responders on the opening home game anyway. Well, with the Hurricane Harvey relief effort and all that going on, the introductions, the flag, and all everything goes on. When J.J. Watt runs out of the tunnel, that place is going to explode.
Well,
this is how it's going to be.
What a great job he has done in raising money for the relief efforts of Hurricane Harvey. I know that a couple days ago it was, it hit the $20 million mark.
I think it's 27 now.
28.5
yeah,
million.
Unbelievable.
Right now with that fund that J.J. Watt has raised, which is. What a tremendous job, you know, for him to kind of be the lead figure in that. I mean, obviously, it's not all him. I mean, I'm sure he's got a lot of support from his teammates, the organization, people in the community, the business community. But
he's the big face.
Yeah, you know, look, it's sure. There's always got to be a face to it. And what a great job he's done. And you love, a lot of times the media attention on athletes sometimes can be in a negative light, and boy, what a positive beacon that he has been in this situation, and kudos to him.
It'll be fun to watch on Sunday for sure.
All right, so let's go to our
rankings. We're talking defense here.
Let's go to our rankings.
We were talking scoring defense versus total defense.
All right, I'm gonna give you three categories, okay?
Okay.
In these three categories, okay, mm-hmm. scoring defense, okay,
yes.
Which is what we talked about, which is points allowed per game.
That's right.
Here's the top five. New England, number one.
You were right.
I was right. The Giants, number two. Seattle, number three. Denver at four. Dallas at five. Okay. Yards allowed defense, which many people kind of assume that that's, you know, the indicator of number one defense.
That's total defense.
Which is yards allowed per game.
That's right.
Houston's number one. Arizona's number two. Minnesota at three. Denver at four. Seattle at five.
Only two teams match.
Well, then, see, that's the thing here, right? Okay. Those two teams are you know, right in the top five in both categories, and those two teams are considered, in my mind, the best defense because it's not only yards allowed, it's the number of points that they're giving up. Now, let me go to one other category
here.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it.
This is plus minus.
Turnover ratio.
Okay, plus minus. This isn't takeaways. This is giveaways, takeaways, which gives you the plus minus rankings from the end of the season last year. The top five teams, Kansas City and Oakland tied at number one. They were both plus 16 in turnover differential.
That's really good.
The New England Patriots, number three at plus 12. The Atlanta Falcons at number four at plus 11. And also tied at fourth, that's the top five teams. Minnesota, same thing, plus 11.
Right, so Minnesota was in a couple of them.
Okay, so what would you rather have out of those three categories?
I mean, I want the plus minus.
Yeah, absolutely.
That means both sides of the ball are working well.
Absolutely. You would take those teams right there. Kansas City, Oakland, New England, Atlanta, Minnesota.
That's not a true defensive statistic.
No, it's
not.
That's
a team statistic, though.
But it's part of it. You know, it's part of the equation. But you know, it's interesting to see. You know, but if you're talking about pure defense, you're going to take Seattle and Denver because they're excellent in yards allowed. They're excellent in points allowed, and that I think that's the true measurement is to find a, you know, and to have your team be in the top of each category. And that's one, in that one category, the Jaguars, even though we talked about how much they improved defensively last year, which they did, and they were sixth in yards allowed, but 25th in points allowed, that's the category that is ultimately the one that they need to improve upon.
I know the Jags were near the bottom in plus minus last
year. They were 30th in the league.
There you go.
They were minus 16.
The defense, that's an offensive and defensive thing, obviously. Got to stop giving the ball away,
well,
taking away more. And that's where top defenses, as we've talked about here, excel. Taking the ball away, but not only that, when you take it away, go stand in the end zone with it, too. That's where the real elite defenses are.
Well, that's why, you know, you had the conversation about, you know, run the ball, have a more efficient Blake Bortles going into this year, protect the ball. You know, last year, if you look at the giveaways, there was only a few teams that had more than the Jaguars. The Jets gave the ball away 34 times. Mm. The San Diego Chargers gave it away 35 times. Chicago Bears gave it away 31 times. The Jaguars gave it away 29 times. So they were, you know, right there at the bottom of the league, you know, as far as giving the ball away. And then takeaways is a category that's got to get better this year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so we're talking about things that have to change for this football team to have success. I mean, last year, 13 takeaways as a defense. 13. That's right at the bottom of the league. The Chicago Bears had the least amount at 11, and the Jaguars had the second least amount with 13 tied with the Cleveland Browns. So if you're talking about, you know, taking a step up, you know, the category of turnover differential, takeaways, giveaways, those categories got to get better for this football team this year.
Got to get better in the pass rush game in points where it really counts. End of game, long, you know they got to pass rush and get to the quarterback, and it's been a point for this football team that they haven't had the guy to that you know he's going to come, and he comes and gets the quarterback anyway.
Well, and
we've, you know, talked this to death.
Well, I mean, you know, there's how many teams have, you know, a dominant player. I mean, there's
a handful.
Let me ask you a question. Who had more sacks last year, the Texans or the Jaguars?
Well, I'd say the Texans off the
top
of my
head.
No,
they did not.
No, they didn't. Question, though.
They didn't. You know, and here's the other thing. Okay, because the Texans were without J.J. Watt, their leading pass rusher was Whitney Merciless. He had 7.5 sacks.
Okay.
Clowney, I think, had 6. And the Houston Texans, if you look at their number of takeaways last year, they only had 17. Okay, 17. But they did a very good job of protecting the ball relative to that. They were only minus 5, unlike the Jaguars at minus 16. Mm. You know, so the Texans, you know, when you say, okay, they've got a really dominant front, and Well, yeah, they have a dominant front, but it's not as dominant when you're missing J.J. Watt because the turnover factor was not there for their defense last year.
Interesting. You're digging into the stats.
Yeah, and by the way, the number of sacks, the Jaguars had, I think, 33, and the Texans had 31, I believe. So the Jaguars actually sacked the quarterback more last year, but they got less takeaways than the Texans. Things that, you know, kind of surprise you. You know, and the pass rush sacks, that all factors in, and the ability to get the takeaways. So football, you know, it's basic football, plus minus. I mean, that's the, you know, if you point to one thing in football, that's it, plus minus. You're going to win a game? Tell me the plus minus. Tell me how you did at protecting the ball, and tell me how you did at taking it away.
That's right.
The number one determinant factor of every football game there is. I don't care if it's high school, college, pro. That's always the most important thing, and the first thing you should always talk about as a coaching staff. It's about the ball. It's what Gus Bradley used to say.
It's all about the ball,
okay?
Right?
And every coach has their own version of it, you know?
Where's Dante Fowler right now? What do you expect out of him Sunday?
Well, I think he's got a great opportunity. Here's the positive news about Dante Fowler. Was on the injury report yesterday. Limited. Today was full. So expect him to be ready to go. And as I said earlier, I think he has a very good matchup opportunity against Giacomini, the right tackle. He's a big, strong guy. If Dante wants to stand up and kind of try to push him, he's going to lose that battle. He's got to be able to use his speed and movement skills because Giacomini is not the most fleet of foot. He's got to press the edge on him. And I think that's the one thing I think that Dante Fowler has not done a good enough job yet, and I think he's starting to learn that he has to do that, but it's pressing the edge. You know, the one I'm looking forward to watching, though, is Calais Campbell because,
absolutely.
Here's the thing. In the preseason, we saw him, you know, play that strong side defensive end. We saw him play, you know, one side or the other. They didn't really mix it up, you know. But here's the opportunity, you know, much like we talk about with Tony earlier about who would you match up Clowney and J.J. Watt and Merciless with. Well, you can have the same conversation with the Jaguars. You got two young ends, so I don't think you're looking at matching them up against one guy or the other. Ngakoue is better on the right side, and Fowler is better on the left. So those two guys, I expect them to stay right there.
Okay.
But Calais Campbell can be inside on the left side, inside on the right side. Where are you going to match him up? Are you going to match him up against Jeff Allen or Suofilo, the left guard? It'll be interesting to see. But I enjoy watching Calais Campbell because he's so big and so strong that he never gets stuffed. He always moves the offensive line back. And whoever is rushing next to him is automatically going to be better just because of the pressure that he gets.
We'll have room to move.
And not allowing the quarterback to step up.
Fun.
And Malik Jackson, you know, look, last year he had six sacks. It was his career high. You know, I want to see what he's going to do. Now, I want to see him take another step. You know, I want to see him take a step up and become one of those guys to where, okay, now he's going to have some one-on-one opportunities because Calais Campbell is going to be maybe getting some double teams, you know, so it'll be fun to watch.
Yes, it will. We know how you love watching defensive line.
Well,
play,
I mean,
too.
I love watching. I mean, look, I love watching the entire game. But you know, Calais Campbell is such a unique specimen. I mean, how often do you see 6'8", 300 pounds? You
that
know,
can,
6'8", 300 pounds. Yeah, that can move.
Yeah,
you know, that has the ability to make guys miss. That has the ability to push the pocket. You just don't find guys like that, you know. And
then he's got the head to go with it too.
No, yeah, sharp. He's
pro.
If a coach could have 53 of those type of guys, you wouldn't lose a game. Now I'm not saying 53 Calais Campbell, and you got Calais Campbell playing quarterback and running back and all.
What is this, Bugs Bunny? I'm talking
about those kind of guys, you know. I mean, he's a pro.
Yep,
he's a pro.
Hey, let's come back and get around the National Football League, and we'll pick games.
Who are you picking tonight, by the way?
I'll tell you when we come back.
All right.
Who are you picking tonight?
Patriots. Patriots at home with Roger Goodell in the house.
Ooh, we'll see.
All right, Tom Brady is going to be on fire. Wait till you see Brandon Cooks running deep about 10 times.
Well, we saw it a few weeks ago, too, at practice. Final thoughts coming up. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Final moments of Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Joe Fortunato, Max Hockman in the house. By the way, I know there's a lot of folks driving through Jacksonville right now from the south, evacuating from Hurricane Irma. If you're heading toward Atlanta, by the way, most of the hotels in Atlanta are booked, yeah, sold out. So if you haven't made accommodations, you might want to make them elsewhere. But if you are booked in Atlanta and heading that way, the Atlanta Braves today announced that the next 4 days, Thursday or tonight through Sunday, they're actually hosting the Miami Marlins of all teams. But if you have a Florida ID or a Georgia Coastal County ID, you can come to the box office day of the game and get a free ticket to the Braves game.
That's cool.
So that's really cool. If you're stuck in Atlanta for a few days and need a little entertainment, go check out the new SunTrust Park in Cobb County.
Have you been there, by the way?
I haven't been to the new place, no. So kudos to the Braves for
opening up the park. Where's the new park at?
It's up northwest of town, Cobb Parkway, where 285 meets right there. It's
when we were in Atlanta last week,
yeah,
the old ballpark is south of Atlanta, it's off of I-75.
It's downtown.
Right there. Exactly.
Yeah.
What are they doing with that?
That's now Georgia State's football stadium.
Oh, okay.
And they sold it out the first game, like 25,000 people or something. Refurbished it a little bit and made another side over there for fans. And
awesome.
So they're getting use out of Turner Field. So
that's good.
They played the night we left. When we drove home, you saw it was lit up.
Yeah,
you were busy.
I was going pretty fast. So.
Paying attention, eh?
No, I really was. I was just trying to get out of Atlanta. But
there you have it. So kudos to the Braves for opening up. So if you're heading to Atlanta, take them up on their offer for a free ticket to the Braves-Marlins series. Let's pick some games in the National Football League in week number one.
We're letting Joe pick first.
Yeah, so
because he's picking for Buscelli. Now, Joe, here's the thing.
I'll pick first all the time if you want me to, losers.
Here's the question. Are you going to pick badly, or are you honestly trying to pick well for Tony?
No, I'm going to pick well.
That's awful. Right. So Tony already picked New England on his call earlier. So Chiefs-Patriots tonight. Logs, you said New England before the break.
Yeah, but I'm not going to be like Buscelli and say by three. The Patriots are going to whoop them.
Whoop them?
Yeah.
Take him out behind the woodshed, eh?
This is going to be, 14, 17 points.
Oh, wow. Just to be different and get a leg up on you, I'm going Kansas City tonight on the road. They're going to shock the world in New England. Sunday, Steelers at the Browns in week one.
Joe. Yeah, you're picking first.
Okay. Well, I didn't pick first then. All right. It's easy. It's Cleveland. Come on. Pittsburgh's going to win the game.
Okay. For a minute there, I thought he was going to say it's Cleveland. You're picking Cleveland?
I wrote down Cleveland. No. What do you got, Jeff?
I'm going to take Pittsburgh, but I'm disappointed that Myles Garrett is not going to be available to sack Ben Roethlisberger like he talked about after he was drafted.
Got an ankle in? High ankle sprain.
High ankle. Well, they're saying a couple weeks, but it's an ankle. So he's out.
Pittsburgh all the way. Offense all day long. The Cardinals at the Lions in week one, newly paid quarterback in Detroit.
Yeah, he's got all that money, and he's going to lose the game.
Cardinals it is. Jeffrey?
I'm taking Detroit at home.
I'm with you. Lions get it done. The Leones in week one at Ford Field.
This is good. I like the separation going here.
Raiders-Titans in Nashville.
Okay.
Pretty good game, actually. Pretty good matchup.
Yeah, it'd be a good game. I can't pick the Titans for anything, okay? So it's Oakland.
Okay. Jeffrey?
Look, Jeff Fisher is gone. I don't mind picking the Titans. I'm taking the Titans.
Mm. I've got Oakland. Jack and his hair get it done on the road in Nashville.
Jack and his hair.
Especially if
I don't even know him. Sorry. Eagles at the Redskins.
Okay, seriously.
Joe is taking the Eagles.
Yes, he is.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
That's the same reason I'm picking the Giants, too, when we get to that game.
Okay. Jeff, who you got, Philly or Washington?
Where's it at?
FedEx Field, Washington.
I want to take the Redskins.
At home. I'll take Philly. Why not?
That was your team growing up, wasn't it, Jeff?
Philly on the road.
Oh, Skins? Yeah.
You grew up around
the Hogs and, you know, everybody else.
Ravens at the Bengals.
I'm taking the, you know, it's a tough one.
Go ahead.
Joe Flacco's just getting back into the swing of things. I'm taking the Bengals.
Yeah, I'm going Cincinnati.
Really? How about that?
Who are you taking?
How about you,
Joe? There's no reason that the Jaguars aren't going to beat the Ravens in London, so Cincinnati's going to beat them, too.
Okay.
Okay. Falcons at the Bears.
Ooh. It's all yours, Joe. Well,
I'm taking Atlanta.
Yeah, me too. Falcons.
Is the quarterback that they have playing in Chicago, Mike Glennon?
He ain't going to be playing long.
He's not very good. Atlanta. Even though Atlanta did not have a good preseason, Atlanta.
Well, I don't think the preseason matters. They went to the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, but they were wondering what was wrong with Matt Ryan in the preseason.
Yeah. Everything's fine with Matt Ryan. Jets at the Bills.
J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, lose.
Tyrod Taylor is the lesser of two evils. So give me the Bills.
Clean sweep. Bills at home to get it started. Colts at the Rams. Ooh, I'm going Rams.
Colts can't beat anybody.
Yeah.
Andrew Luck is out.
No, give me the Rams.
Andrew Luck is out. Are you kidding me?
Rams. Clean sweep. Rams all the way there. Seahawks, Packers. Good game.
Great game. It's where's it at?
In Lambeau.
I'm taking in Lambeau.
Yeah, me too.
I'll go Seattle on the road. Why not?
Okay, yeah. Not wrong Seattle.
Why not? That's a pretty good pick. The few games to go here. Panthers, Niners.
Panthers.
Yeah, Niners are real young, and Cam will beat that all the time.
He's had two passes in the preseason. That'll be an interesting
watch.
Yes,
it will.
What will Cam Newton look like?
So two Carolinas and three Carolinas in that one. Giants at the Cowboys in Jerry's world.
Like I said before.
You're picking Dallas, though. That's interesting,
I'm not
too.
Picking Dallas.
Joe would never pick Dallas.
I picked Dallas once.
So you go in New York.
You know, there's been a lot of distractions in Dallas, but I'm going to take them.
Elliott's playing, sounds
well,
like.
I don't care if he's playing or not. Their quarterback, even though he's young.
Yeah. Still good football.
Like the way he operates and I like the way he handles himself. I'm a big fan of his. I'm taking the Cowboys.
Yep, I'm with you. Cowboys, how about them in week one? Saints at the Vikings.
Saints.
Boy, it's hard to pick against Breeze, but I'm going to.
Okay.
Okay. Yep. Minnesota at home. It's not a bad pick. Good defense. I'll go New Orleans. Drew Brees and a run game now all of a sudden with AP going back to Minnesota as well.
Yeah, and you know, does he have anything left? We'll see. I'm picking him not because of Adrian Peterson. I'm picking him because of Drew Brees.
Chargers-Broncos on Monday night.
There's two Monday nights.
Yeah, that Saints-Vikings is the other Monday night game. Yeah.
Boy, I'm almost like this more emotionally than anything else. Like, same thing with Tennessee. Chargers always seem to have this team's number, so I'm not going to pick them.
So you're going Denver?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going Denver as well at home.
You guys are both going Denver?
Yep.
All right. I'll take Gus Bradley's defense.
Mm-hmm. So the
just
LA,
to be a contrarian on that pick.
So the L.A. Chargers for the Logs. And now, finally, the Jaguars at the Houston Texans week one. Tony Boselli has him a three-point winner, 20-17, I think he had as the final.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey, what do you think?
I'm trying to think of it. I think the Jaguars get this on special teams. 13-12.
Close. Barn burner in Houston.
Yeah.
Wow. Tony said by three, and you're even tighter than that.
Yeah. 13-12. I mean, and there might not even be, you know, 25 points scored in this game. Might not be.
I picked the Jags to win on Monday night. I think I was kind of pressed into it by Tony.
So you're saying you didn't believe they're going to win, but you were pushed into it.
Yeah, I was bullied into it,
okay,
for lack of a better
term.
So
you can change your mind.
So I think I'm going to back
out
of it.
You're allowed.
I think the Jags have to prove it to us first before I start picking them. So I'm going Houston
okay
in the same kind of game, low scoring,
okay,
field goal game late. Something's
and you might
happen.
Be right. I mean, I said,
but
which,
until the Jags prove they can go in and win a game like this,
you can't give it to them, right?
They won three games last year.
I got you.
So I'm going Houston.
And here's right my pick.
That's
is,
why I backed off.
My pick is hope. Okay, my pick isn't based on confidence. They're going to win this thing. They're going to play well and play tight game.
Yeah.
My pick is hope, because I hope this team can get out on the right foot after, you know, a preseason that did little or nothing to encourage people that this team is headed where they need to be. The greatest way to get encouragement is to see results and to see winning. And I hope this team was able to do that against a team that has a very challenging defense. But this is a winnable game because their offense is challenged. And Tom Savage, in my opinion, is raw. He is a very easy target. He doesn't have great pocket presence. He doesn't scramble and extend plays. This game, if the guys can get after him a little bit and shut the Texans' running game down, they got a chance to have great success.
So there you have it. We'll review all the picks. Well done, Joe, for Tony tonight. We'll review all those next week and see how many I won by in week one. Who won last year? You win last year? I overtook Buscelli for second place the last week.
Something happened. We started the playoffs. We like made them worth.
Super Bowl was worth like 51
yeah,
points.
Yeah, it was something like that.
And I won.
And you won at the end. And but Buscelli crushed us, right?
No. I overtook Buscelli with the Super Bowl win. I think you won.
That's what I'm saying, though. In the regular season, Buscelli won, hands down.
Well, it went to the playoffs, so he didn't win anything.
Yeah. I didn't got to go through the playoffs. I didn't win, did I? I didn't win. I don't think I won anything. I'm picking the game.
Who knows?
I win fantasy all the time.
Every week. Congratulations.
Two years in a row.
Wow, back-to-back.
Did I win the fantasy in the preseason?
I don't know. I didn't keep the score.
We got to ask Dempsey.
We'll ask Dempsey this week.
The last game was kind of a struggle to find guys to pick.
That's the point.
And then I had Brandon Allen, and he throws three picks. That's minus two, minus two, minus two, right? That's what I
minus
was told.
Minus four, I think. It's a lot more than that.
It's minus two per interception.
That's a tough pick for you. Tough pick for you. Let's get some nuggets around the National Football League. Hurricane Irma closing in on South Florida, so the league moved the Buccaneers-Dolphins game to week 11, and they're both on a bye that week. No longer. That makes a long schedule ahead for both teams. But the right move.
Look, it's a story. Because the game was canceled, but you know, there's also a story in Jacksonville that this team, including the staff, us, coaches, players, you know, are leaving and going to Houston. And when would the team be able to get back? You know, what's going to happen while the team is gone?
That's a question.
It's certainly a question that it's in my mind, and I think it's probably in a lot of people's minds as well. That are going to be leaving, and it really hasn't become a national story. And I think that at some point, somebody in the national media needs to take a look at it and say, you know what, this is not only a situation for Miami, Tampa, and them canceling a game, but this is you're talking about another football team. And also, look, it's big, not just about football and the football team; it's about everybody in the community. I mean, the state of Florida is looking at a rough couple days. And I just want to say this before we get off the air. I hope all of our listening audience, everybody, makes the right decisions, makes the right calls when it comes to their safety, and that they're all very safe. And we've got a couple days here to make sure that everybody prepares as best that they can. Because, at the end of the day, we're all in it together. And I hope that everybody comes out of it okay.
Stay safe. Be smart.
That's right.
That's right, Joe. No doubt about that. And the team still scheduled to leave on Saturday early afternoon or so to head over to Houston. And the staff has been told at least to be prepared for at least a night or so in Houston. Extra note, that might be close to a game time decision whether the team tries to get back that night. We'll see. Moving ahead here, we'll keep everybody posted on that. And, yes, it will be a story. So, Logs, well done. Be safe on the way to Houston.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Be safe here.
We'll do it. We'll hold down the fort here at Everbank Field. Jeff Logeman, Max Hockman, Joe Fortunato. I'm JP Shadrick. Thank you for watching and listening. Stay safe in a hurricane. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.